welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we continue with our faith, healing, and spirituality series with two exciting guests. Our first guest, Dr. Dean Schrock, is a licensed psychologist who served as director of mind-body medicine for a physician management group of 40 cancer patients for many years. Here he discovered that his patients live longer than others receiving conventional treatment and concluded that the difference was that they felt loved and cared for. His doctoral dissertation was on guided imagery, and this fit nicely with his interest in spirituality. He has since dedicated his life to writing and teaching how to find your own true joy, greater health, and a deeper sense of inner love. His books include Doctor's Orders, Go Fishing, and Why Love Heals. More information is available at www.deanschrock.com and www.heartfeltintent.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dean, and I look forward to hearing how love heals. First, how did you become interested in wellness and mind-body medicine?
Well, firstly, it's a real pleasure to get to know you and to be part of your program, Carl.
Thank you.
I got interested initially back in the 70s when I attended a self-help program and learned about guided imagery and self-hypnosis for the first time. And in the next 2 years, I used it to change my weight, to stop smoking, to change the hay fever symptoms that I had for 15 years. I really had serious problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that really got my attention was when I used guided imagery to change a condition that otherwise required surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I had torn up my right knee playing soccer in college,
mm-hmm.
and the orthopedic surgeon told me I definitely needed the surgery. And actually 12 years later, my knee really hurt, and I was pretty immobile and really assumed I needed surgery. But then I had just learned about guided imagery, and the fellow who taught me this said, well, why don't you try this before you decide to have the surgery? And within 2 days, I had no pain, and by the end of the week, I had full use of my knee, and I say I've learned to downhill ski since.
Mm-hmm.
So that really got my attention. And then while I was in that program, I learned a great deal about guided imagery and how it could affect a physiologic response. And then when I got out of school, I did a couple of internships, and one working with strokes primarily. But while I was at that hospital, I interned with Carl Simonton, who was one of the real pioneers in looking at guided imagery specifically in cancer, although he actually looked more at lifestyle in a much more major way than people as in the importance of joy and how joy affects your progression of cancer and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some very early fascinating personal experiences and professional ones, which helped me to understand a great deal about how the mind affects health and more specifically cancer. And then because of my work with Carl, I went on to become director of mind-body medicine for a group of 40 cancer centers. And Carl and I worked together initially to set up the program, which I taught and researched and supported his initial research, that a psychological approach can affect survival with cancer.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that he is the one who did a lot of work with psychics and had psychics, I think, in one experiment. He had the psychic hold the water that was used on plants, and then there was another one that was not held by the psychic, and it was a double-blind study that no one knew which water was put on which plant, and the plant thrived. Is that correct?
Well, I'm thinking now of another fellow who was the real expert, Cleve Baxter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that name I remember, too.
Polygraph, and that's the one name that comes to my mind immediately when I think of looking how one's emotional state or thought processes can affect plants in particular. Mm-hmm. I don't associate Carl Simonton,
oh, don't you?
Who was a radiation oncologist, with that work.
Oh, okay. I guess I had them mixed up then, because I also remember there was some work about the same time on the effect of music on plant growth. Beethoven made plants thrive and Rock made them die, if I remember correctly. But I don't remember who did the work, but I'm getting off track. So anyhow, you served as director then of mind-body medicine for a group of cancer centers for many years. And could you tell us a little bit about what you did for your patients and your research that showed that patients live longer than those who received only conventional cancer treatment?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Again, because of my work with Carl Simonton, his greatest interest was teaching people to find what brought them their greatest joy in life as part of their treatment. And he found that it affected survival of cancer. So when I set up my program, I similarly asked people to do what brought them the greatest joy and meaning in their lives. And I started to call it going fishing, because where we were based actually in central Pennsylvania, and actually through most of Pennsylvania, they take off public school for the first day of trout season, first day of doe season, first day of buck season. So I found that my patients really appreciated when I spoke more like a real person than just the doctor, and encouraged them to do what they loved. But what was fascinating, Carl, mm-hmm. is to learn quickly that they found this to be too selfish, that putting themselves first or creating a balance in their lives between taking care of themselves and doing for others, they thought that everyone and everything else should come first. So mm-hmm. it was fascinating, one, to find that they found it too selfish to really take care of themselves properly, as I was asking them to do. And secondly, was then when they were living longer, when I had a colleague at Penn State University who was a statistician in the biobehavioral health department of Penn State do the statistics with my patients and their outcomes, is that when my patients were living much longer, is how could that be? And so fortunately, I was allowed to make a clinical opinion. And what I had found in going to all these different cancer centers, when I asked people what really helped them and what didn't, was the most important thing to them was when they felt listened to and cared for and supported. And so like Dean Ornish's research with heart disease, mm-hmm. it came down to feeling loved and cared for. And so that was really fascinating to me, and maybe, honestly, just makes sense. But in terms of the science of this, how do you really explain why love heals?
Mm-hmm.
So that was fascinating for me then to investigate why that could possibly be, and then write my book, Why Love Heals. And I was really pleased to find so much supporting evidence mm-hmm. how love really does heal.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dean, you had some other fascinating discoveries along the way. Could you tell us how this led to writing your best-selling book, Why Love Heals?
Yeah, that was related to what I was just saying, is that, you know, the idea of love, you know, you mentioned off the air when we were talking earlier about Bernie Siegel and some mm-hmm. of his work, and mm-hmm. Bernie was one of the first to talk and write about love, and probably the one oncologist who came to popularize the role of love in healing when he wrote his book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest surprise, I guess, after finding that, one, people found it too selfish to really do what brought them the greatest joy, and then, two, that love really seemingly was the reason why my patients were living longer, is to do my private study in quantum physics and to learn that underlying all of physical reality as we understand it is a whole other reality, what physicist David Bohm called a primary reality of harmony and order. And he actually referred to this quantum field as a field of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really fascinated me to then go even further in what they found and how everything is connected, that everything is one, and that field is one of complete coherence, again,
mm-hmm.
harmony, order, compassion, love.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, that consciousness creates, that this underlying quantum field of electromagnetic energy is a field of potential energy. It doesn't have form. And it takes form when we observe it or pay attention to it. And so that was just amazing and so well supported my work in guided imagery and hypotheses to explain why guided imagery is so effective is because consciousness literally creates. And when you're resonating with that quantum field, when you are experiencing or expressing love, and then whatever you're thinking or feeling after that, it has a pronounced effect. So that was really, really something to find some science. You know, actually, I think there were at least four physicists to receive the Nobel Prize in Physics for these discoveries. So I thought, oh, we're going to think this sounds a little kooky, but this is actually serious science.
What are your top recommendations for cancer patients and others who are interested in a holistic approach for their health care?
Well, actually, of course, it's very important that people do what brings them great joy and how they can use guided imagery or deliberate intention techniques of any kind to improve their circumstances. But I believe very firmly that meditation is the most key thing we can do. And that's because it puts us in touch with this underlying reality or truth of who we really are. And, for example, when they look at the right hemispheres and know that the right brain is much more interested in being more creative, and it is the only way, really, that you're going to understand this truth we are versus where we tend to use the left brain hemisphere that is much more interested in categorizing and organizing and describing and judging and being critical and analyzing. So by far, people want to take time to meditate and to access this underlying sense of unity or oneness or love, which is the truth of who they are. And then I say health is a natural consequence. But after that, one of the things I strongly recommend is developing their intuition, which would be related to meditation, taking time to go within and developing that inner voice that comes from however they want to label it, whether they want to call it a quantum field or God or Holy Spirit or the Tao. There is this wisdom that lies within that we are a part of and that we can access in guiding us in all areas of our life.
Then, Dean, would you have an example of a patient who healed using faith and love?
Oh, my goodness, there are so many of them. One that came to mind immediately when you said that was a fellow in Pennsylvania who lived near Philadelphia, was working in a cancer center there, and poor Buck. His name was Bud, and when I met him, he was in a wheelchair in great pain, and his prognosis was not even to live another 2 months. But, of course, my job was to be there and to help patients any way I could, as well as their families. And then I taught my program, so I told Bud and his wife about my program, but fully expecting Bud would never be well enough to come. But he, in fact, did show up that night, and I remember initially, actually, he was very upset with me when I told him that he could use guided imagery to affect his condition. I remember him leaning forward in his wheelchair and just almost yelling at me, "You mean to tell me, you know, all I have to do?" And it was interesting that a number of other patients responded with their own personal experiences and how it helped them. And as this went on, and Bud attended all of the classes, there was no way I thought I was coming to the first class and then not coming back to any more, but he came to all of them. And then after the series was over, he said, "I want to go buy a new boat." He said, "What should I do?" Because remember, he wasn't going to live 2 months, and now it was already into 7 weeks. And I told him I couldn't tell him what to do, but that my experience was that, in general, people said to live like you're going to live. So Bud went on and bought that boat, and he and his wife said they had the best summer of their lives. And what was really fascinating, of course, Bud eventually did die, but they buried Bud with his tape recorder on the audio tape that I gave to patients using guided imagery. Tell them to, you know, go fishing, but otherwise relax and so forth. It was the most outstanding example of going from the worst possible scenario to, as they said, having the best summer of their lives. And then because I worked with literally thousands of patients, I had so many similar experiences where people said that cancer was actually the best thing that ever happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I was able to understand that over time was because it helped them reprioritize their lives
mm-hmm.
and really do what was most important instead of how we become deeply conditioned to believe certain things are important and then what really matters to us, we don't really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that over time, by far the big three that matter so much to people are their spiritual beliefs, their family, and their friends. And so mm-hmm. I would encourage them then to please make time for what you believe is most important. And I would say, how do you want to spend the time you have left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a little time or a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And please do what brings you the greatest joy and meaning in your life.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. So is there anything else then, Dean, you would like to say before we look at your books, services, and products and how the listeners can reach you?
No, I think it's just for people to be more open to take personal responsibility for their lives and for their health. And, you know, initially, Carl, I thought that people would really be attracted to the idea of being able to be more a part of their health care.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found was that people really look to their physicians to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people really need to understand that the key components to wellness are nutrition, exercise, and stress management.
Mm-hmm.
But even to this very day, medical students are not required to study these in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
While it's a recent phenomenon that these subjects are available to study at all, they're still almost always available as electives. Again,
mm-hmm.
medical students are not required to study them. So I ask people then to please appreciate that your medical doctor is not likely to be your best resource for what I believe is it's a really well-initiated research
mm-hmm.
in these areas, nutrition, exercise, and stress management.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, please consider nutrition, making time for joy, some other approaches to complement whatever else you might do in terms of conventional medical treatment.
Mm-hmm. I think the naturopathic physicians are helping a lot, though, in this area because they're bringing this more to the front. And also the National Cancer and Alternative that's doing a lot of research, I think that they're helping bring a lot of this out to the public.
In fact, what's called integrative medicine now, and sometimes called functional medicine,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
has become quite popular for very good reasons, probably promoted most by Dr. Andrew Weil in his program at the University of Arizona. And I was pleased to be invited to co-author the chapter on mind-body medicine in his newest book titled Integrative Oncology. So you're going to see this more and more where they are incorporating many their modalities along with conventional medical treatment as part of medical care.
Right. And I think also if you go on some of the social media sites like Facebook, you will find groups that are, there's two groups on vitamin B17, which is what I took when I had lung cancer. There's a one group that on cancer for patients, survivors, family, friends, etc. There's over a million people on that site. So, and they have an alternative site there. So I think that there's more and more emphasis on some of the integrative approaches that were not available, say, 20, 25 years ago.
Right.
So, Dean, would you like to tell us about your books and services and products and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. My website is www.deanshrock.com, and they can go there to get lots of information, including there's a free e-course on why love heals. If they go to the website, and they'll see clearly where they can click and get a 6-part series that we will send them through an email on why love heals. It's a workshop I taught a while back, and otherwise, there's lots of good information there. And certainly through the website, they could order my books. My first one is titled Doctor's Orders Go Fishing, which outlines the program I taught and researched that extended survival with cancer and explains in much greater detail things people can do to manage their cancer should they end up, or someone they love dearly end up diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the follow-up book, Why Love Heals, became a bestseller. I was very pleased to know that in three different categories on Amazon, it became a bestseller. And this is where I explain in great detail why, in fact, love heals. And I think people will find that very fascinating, including some intuitive information that was given to me around why love heals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have two guided imagery CDs. One is titled Guided Imagery for Stress Management and Relaxation, and the other is Guided Imagery for Why Love Heals. And again, all of that can be obtained through my website, www.deanschrock.com.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And eventually, in fact, I'm in the process of revising my cancer program. We're going to have my program available on DVDs and CDs. And if people will go to my website, interested in getting on my email list, I'd be very pleased to keep abreast of what we're doing that way and the most current information available then how people can manage their care with cancer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much, Dean. This has been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners, and I hope to talk with you again.
Well, thank you very much. I really value the opportunity to be part of your program.
Thank you. And now for a word from our sponsor, A Distinctive Style magazine, by quoting a couple reviews. One reviewer says, A Distinctive Style magazine is true to its name, presenting stories with new and interesting angles. Many of the articles, which include interviews, reviews, and lifestyle pieces, have a holistic or environmental focus. It is a thoroughly modern multimedia publication, incorporating video clips as well as background soundtrack within many articles. The artistic presentation and high-definition photography makes the pages a delight to scan through, even before reading the informative pieces. The interviews concentrate either on the person's desire to contribute to others and the environment, or on communicating their own personal health and psychological struggles and how they have overcome them. The second reviewer discusses several of the individuals interviewed, and I have selected two that are interesting to me because of their health implications. The reviewer says, perhaps the most impactful article in this edition, a spotlight on a crisis bubbling under the surface, Are We Running Dry, is a documentary narrated by Jane Seymour about the exploding growth of the American population in the Southwest and the very real possibility of water shortages. The feature looks at supply and demand issues in conjunction with a dry climate and the needs for infrastructure improvements. Sharon Winters is up next with an article for our health. Genetically modified organisms are found in an ever-increasing amount of food. What the majority of the public does not know is how pervasive the problem is and how it affects our short and long-term health. Winters advocates cutting out the genetically modified organisms from our diet and gives us some pointers on how to locate them in our favorite food. I know you'll want to go to http://adistinctivestyle.com and subscribe to this amazing magazine. My second guest, Rochelle Renee, has gone from the streets as a teen runaway to become a successful entrepreneur, author, speaker, and activist. Her journey has been filled with heartbreaking violence and uplifting inspiring success, and her storage and message is one of a mother's love, courage, determination, and resiliency. Leaving behind emotional and physical abuse, Michelle became a homeless runaway at age 15. Determined to make a life for herself, she climbed the corporate ladder to become an assistant vice president, executive banker, by the time she was 30. Her career ambitions were shattered when three masked gunmen broke down the door to her home, held her and her only child hostage for 14 hours, taped explosives to their bodies, and forced Michelle to rob the bank. She managed to save her life. It was in those 14 hours of being held hostage, as she was preparing to die, that Michelle knew it was time to heal her life. In the aftermath of the violent home invasion, kidnapping, hostage, and bank robbery ordeal, Michelle chose to follow her dream of becoming an entrepreneur and public relations specialist. While awaiting the criminal trial of their attacker, Michelle returned to college at the University of Alaska, Anchorage, at age 35, enrolled in communication courses with an emphasis on public relations. Today, Michelle is an award-winning author, international speaker, respected activist, radio show host, PTSD educator, and breakthrough coach, and is also founder, director of Rock to Stop Violence and owner of Common Unity PR. Michelle's debut memoir, Held Hostage, is now a Lifetime World premiere movie starring Julie Benz, a project she served as creative consultant and associate producer for. Michelle and her daughter are honorees shown on the Chicago Survivor Wall alongside Oprah Winfrey, Maya Angelou, Joe Torre, and Shelley Lynn, to name a few. She is a family advocate for the National Child Traumatic Stress Network and is currently working on her sophomore book, Hostage No More. Her speaking topics include the power of choice, breaking through the three roadblocks to success, parenting through pain, and post-traumatic stress disease is real. Michelle has been seen on Good Morning America, CBS 48 Hours, Fuji TV in Japan, W Network in Canada, Lifetime, A&E, Fox, CBS, NBC, KPBS, and numerous other television and radio shows. She was recently a contributor to the New York Times and Washington Post, and is a featured Huffington Post blogger and contributing writer for More Magazine Online. She is an MSN Hometown Hero and recent 2010 Women Changing the World honoree. More information is available at www.michellerenee.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Michelle, and I look forward to hearing how you overcome a kidnapping and hostage experience along with your daughter.
Thank you.
Thank you. First, can you describe the kidnapping and hostage for ransom incident that completely changed you and your daughter's life?
Well, we were sitting at home one night getting ready to make dinner, and this incredibly thundering noise came from the back door. And when we turned in the direction of this noise that we had no idea what it was, we saw three masked gunmen rushing towards us that had kicked in our door and held us at gunpoint for 14 hours overnight. And in the morning, they duct taped us and put what they told us were bombs on our body and told me that if I didn't clear out the vault of the bank that I managed, that they were going to murder my daughter
and then I would be murdered after that. So they took me at gunpoint to the bank, forced me to rob the bank, and eventually let me go in a parking lot, and I had to find my way back to where my Jeep was sitting with the keys in it and still running, and make my way home and eventually get in the house and found my daughter still bound and gagged in the closet, and got her out and ran to the neighbors for help. It was quite a terrifying, just a horrific situation.
And then what happened after that?
Well, you know, you a lot of people don't, you know, understand that when something like this happens, it was in my home. It affected my 13-year
right.
career in the banking industry mm-hmm. that I love. So
mm-hmm.
we lost everything. I never went back to my career. I never went back to our home. We were just riveted with post-traumatic stress disorder, which I didn't know anything about at all until
mm-hmm.
this point. I'd heard about it here and there when it comes to, you know, veterans of war, but I never heard about it. I did not know what was happening to me. I didn't know if I was ever going to be normal again or if my child was ever going to be normal again. All I knew is that we were suddenly, our life was just completely taken over by flashbacks and nightmares and physical symptoms of this trauma. We were really, really sick. We were just completely
mm-hmm.
paralyzed by PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we ended up having to move to Alaska for a year and await the criminal trial after they were captured and had to come back here to testify. And at that point, we decided we're going to rebuild our life here in our home and in Southern California. We're not going to allow this to completely,
mm-hmm.
you know, strip away everything in our life. So we began rebuilding our life here in Southern California and healing our life.
Mm-hmm. So you're back at the house where the incidents occurred?
No, we actually never returned to that house until... I think it was maybe 4 years ago. We went there on New Year's to start the new year
mm-hmm.
at this place where everything happened and turned on some music, and we actually celebrated in that space, which
mm-hmm.
is a huge part of the healing process that we're going to be talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the choices
mm-hmm.
that you make to
mm-hmm.
begin to celebrate instead of mourn. There has to come a time where you kind of flip that switch and you begin to celebrate. And you know, I took my daughter there and I asked her, what do you remember most about this place?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the Easter egg hunts in the front yard and Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and watching the sunsets
mm-hmm.
and barbecue. So you really have to begin to replace all of those negative memories from that one night
mm-hmm.
and really choose to remember the good things the rest of the 3 years that we were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Michelle, what was the most challenging aspect of healing after this for both you and your daughter?
Well, in the medical community and even in the mental health community, we did not know, like I said, what post-traumatic stress disorder was. We didn't get the support that we needed. We didn't get information that we needed. And we certainly were never offered anything that was along the lines of holistic healing. Everywhere we went, we were told to take medication, and they even wanted to put my daughter on medication initially, and I refused that. And I initially took medication for a very, very brief period of time after my therapist, you know, really
mm-hmm.
had to convince me that this is what I needed, and it was very helpful for a very short period of time. But for me, I really wanted to seek out a holistic way of healing from our trauma and really, you know, facing all of our fears head on and healing in a really positive, healthy
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for myself, but, you know, how do you parent your child after something traumatic and really teach them a positive way of recovering that is not just medicating? So that was probably the most challenging aspect for me. So I ended up coming up with some of our own ways of dealing with the trauma, you know, kind of releasing some of the post-traumatic stress and healing through a holistic means, whether it was
mm-hmm.
kickboxing, and then we started meditating together, and we used walkie-talkies in the house in different rooms until my daughter felt safe to be in another room without clinging to my leg. And so many, many painting. We began to paint on canvas together
mm-hmm.
and do
mm-hmm.
a lot of things that were really great ways of healing and meditating and releasing some of those PTSD symptoms without medication. And so that was really challenging, though, because, you know, we weren't offered any of that information. It just didn't seem, you know, available, and they didn't really seem interested in that way of healing in the medical community. So that was a bit disappointing.
Right. Now, of these actions, what were the top three that you took for a positive recovery?
The number one thing that I feel I did in the best interest of my daughter and myself was to say no to taking medication long term and making a decision that I was going to use medication for a very temporary period of time and instead turn to natural ways of healing. The second thing I did was to actually go to the library and begin to research on my own holistic ways of healing. And I didn't turn to my doctor or my therapist for these kinds of answers. I took action myself, which is really important that we take our own action steps on our own behalf to get the information that we need to heal in the most positive way. And I began to learn about meditation, and I began to learn about yoga, and I began to read these books that were really, you know, spiritual and not clinically dry and overwhelming for me, and began to learn about mandalas and different things that were really healing and very meditative. And the third thing that I did was, for the first 6 months after the trauma, my daughter and I, we only listened to upbeat music and we only watched comedies, because you never know where the triggers are going to come in when you're watching drama on TV or whatever. And we did have a couple of times where, you know, a trailer for a movie would show on TV and it would be a really big trigger for us, or, you know, we'd see something that was a really big trigger for us. So we made sure that we were incorporating things that made us have good, positive, happy feelings, like upbeat music or upbeat things on the television, or just, you know, drive the coast and talk and make sure we would go to places and sit and talk in places that made us feel good, getting back out into nature, those kinds of things.
And Michelle, those are things that are really good for anyone, not just someone that is recovering from post-traumatic stress, but all of us need to watch. What is it we're watching? Are we watching positive things? Are we thinking positive things? Are we communing with nature? The things that you did are very important for everyone to stay healthy. And also, I commend you for getting off medications. I avoid medications, and as you know, I'm 78. I have no chronic illnesses. I have no prescribed medications. I think that once you get one medication, then you've got to take more for the side effects. Then you've got to take more for those. And after a while, you have so many medications that they're causing more problems. And I think that's part of the problem of the elderly in this country, is that they're so conditioned to pop a pill for something. And the natural things take a little bit longer, but they're safer and they're just as effective in the long way. At least that's what I believe. And so I commend you for the approach that you have taken for post-traumatic stress, but I think probably you also have continued these in your own life, and you're much better off as a result of that. Am I right?
Oh, gosh, I could not agree with you more. And it's interesting, because no matter, you know, whether it's, you know, getting older, or it's depression, or whatever the case is, whatever it is that we're dealing with, choosing how we want to recover from those things and sort of manage those things and cope with those things really makes the difference in terms of how we're going to be able to move forward in our life. Or are we doing things that are going to keep us stuck where we are? And for me, you know, my personal opinion is long-term medication for certain things, you know, I think it really contributes to people staying stuck where they are and not moving forward. And so there's so many great holistic things that we can do And like you said, taking positive steps to, you know, listen to good music, do things that make you feel good. We get so stuck in, especially nowadays, when the financial woes and so many people are suffering and scared and worried and in fear. And when we just stay stuck in that place and we forget to do those things that make us feel good and produce joy and happiness, it then we begin to, you know, get further into depression and start taking medications. And so this really vicious cycle that we can break ourselves out of, I feel, and really begin to teach our children, too, that there are really healthy, positive ways to recover and cope and manage with certain stressors in our life. And I really wanted to give that gift to my daughter as well.
Right. And I think that fear is the opposite of faith. And if we have faith in a higher being, faith in ourselves, faith in our fellow man, then we don't need fear in our life. And the more we stay positive, the better the outcomes of things in our life are going to be. And I've seen that in my own life, and I know it to be true. And an example of fear, well, an example that was brought home to me when I interviewed both Patricia Corey and Caroline Corey from Italy and France about 2012, they both said that what we're going through now has to be an experience, because until you get rid of the old, you cannot experience the new. And that 2012, which many people see as the end of the world, but those who are positive tend to see as the end of the world as we now know it. And it will be a much better world where people are more concerned for their fellow man. There'll be less greed, money, power, etc. And so if you look at things from the point of view of this is temporary, this is the process to come to a better world, then you look at things differently than if you look at it the same as I mentioned when we talked earlier about my refrigerator dying over the weekend. It died, and I discovered that the hose was about to break that would have flooded my kitchen. So the refrigerator died to let me know that there was another problem coming along, and I could avoid that problem. But I could have also looked at it like, why is this happening to me, and look at a very negative thing, and then I probably would have been stingy and not paid to have that hose fixed, and then it would have flooded, and then again I'd have said, why me? Because as you're negative, you attract negative things, and as you're positive, you attract positive things. So I think that our whole perception has a lot to do with the environment that we're in, because we create it with our thoughts. And I think you have created a beautiful environment for you and your daughter as a result of your experience. So in one way, you can almost look back at that experience and see it as something that was positive, even though at the time, I know it had to have been a very negative experience. But if you look at what happened as a result of that, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you said. You know, what are we choosing to give our energy away to? And for me, looking back on that, do I see the actions of other people that were desperate and felt like that was their only option, and what they chose to do was a very, very bad thing. I don't look at that as a positive thing, but I look at the outcome of that one event, and making a decision how you move forward sets into motion the next chain of events and the next chain of events and the next person being attracted to into your life that just show up on your path. It's just been incredible, incredible people showing up on my path because of the way I've chosen to move forward. And it is all about choice and the power of choice and what I choose to believe about that situation. It was one event that, like my daughter said, just because something sad and scary happened to us that one night, it doesn't mean the rest of our lives have to be sad and scary. And, you know, out of the mouths of babes comes something so honest and so true that for us, that's really what our focus is. What do we want the rest of our life to be? We do have PTSD. What are we going to do about that? Mm-hmm. This event did happen. What are we going to do to move forward? And instead of asking why something happened to you, like you with the refrigerator, mm-hmm. but like you were just telling everybody, all of the listeners, you know, instead of why did this happen to me, you know, people need to, when they kind of hear themselves asking themselves that ever elusive question why, you know, begin to switch that around and say, how can I make a positive difference out of this? What can I learn from this? What is this situation trying to tell me? How is this situation trying to direct me in a new way? And really mm-hmm. get away from asking why, because mm-hmm. we may never know why.
Mm-hmm. And I think a series of these experiences build your faith. And I think that's a big part of what life is all about, is having faith. And as a result of your faith and being positive, you have a beautiful life.
I do. I really, even with the challenges, I still can 100% say, and with all that I've been through in my life, I can 100% say that this has been a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a beautiful life, and we have to continue to focus on that, even with the challenges. You know, the other day, my daughter and I, you know, and it's tight for everybody right now, including
right.
us. We're mm-hmm. you know, we're having challenges just like everyone else. And I said, you know, what can we do today? Let's just cruise the coast, put the windows down and the music up. And we ended up packing a picnic for the first time in a long time and just going and sitting at this old bridge mm-hmm. and having a little picnic and just talking and watching the fish jump up out of the water. Very, very simple, mm-hmm. very inexpensive, and absolutely precious, priceless time that I got to spend with her that, mm-hmm. that turned out to be a beautiful, incredible day. You know, focus on things like that and,
right.
and figure out the things that you can do with your life that really, really do create memories that are priceless.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Michelle, and that's a beautiful story. Now, Michelle, do you have a personal motto today?
Well, I tell everybody that to be the journey. It's not about the destination, and it's not about feeling like you're on this train and you're looking around and you're a part of the journey. For me, you are that journey. You are it. You're just as much a part of everything happening in this universe as everything and everyone else. So my personal motto is to be the journey. Don't really look at the destination. It's really, for me, it is about being so present every single day and understanding that you do have value mm-hmm. and you do have worth and you are so important in this universe. You're just as much an important part of it all as anything and anyone else. And mm-hmm. I just really want people to start to, you know, kind of feel that and be that and show up in that way every single day to that invitation of life and say, I'm here and I'm going to be 100% present mm-hmm. in all that I do.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. How is your daughter doing now?
She is really grown to be such a fantastic young lady. She's 17. I think, you know, one of the other great things that we were blessed with was to have 2.5 years of fantastic cognitive behavioral therapy with a great therapist that was very supportive with my, you know, doing art therapy and showing up in her office with pieces of artwork or mm-hmm. things I had written and kickboxing. And so she was very, very supportive with my wanting to take a holistic approach to healing my life and my daughter's life after this trauma. And because of that, and being open and telling my daughter that there is no shame, there's no label mm-hmm. attached to surviving and dealing with post-trauma, you're not a freak, you're not abnormal. There, you know, because when you go through something like this and you're dealing with post-trauma, you feel crazy and you feel like you're a freak and you don't know if you're ever going to be okay again. So to really open up the lines of communication and allow her to talk freely and speak openly and share and educate her teachers in her school and make her feel empowered,
mm-hmm.
she, you know, has really turned out to be quite a wonderful young lady who just made the varsity cheer squad at her high school and is got a 3.8 GPA and has plans and goals and dreams that I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Now, Michelle, can you tell us about your services, products, books, and how the listeners can reach you?
Oh, I would love it if anybody wants to log onto my website and send me any kind of feedback at michelle-renee.com. Again, that's michelle-renee.com. And my book that was turned into a Lifetime movie is called Held Hostage. That movie is being released on DVD on September the 14th. And Julie Benz, the new star of No Ordinary Family, plays me in the film. I'm very proud of the heart of the story and the message in the end of the story. So everyone pick up the book, Held Hostage, or watch the movie Held Hostage on Lifetime or get your DVD. And right now we're asking everyone to go ahead and nominate the movie, the film, or myself for a Voice Award on the SAMHSA website. So you can go to Voice Awards and nominate us to receive an award for reaching out for positive change in the mental health community as it relates to PTSD. So mm-hmm. I'd appreciate lots of help. And I guess the only other thing is Rock to Stop Violence. So you can log on and find out more, too, about Rock to Stop Violence. We do rock and roll benefit concerts that include art and a fashion show to raise awareness and funds for treatment centers around the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you do speaking and training besides, or is that it?
I do a lot of speaking. I just recently spoke in Florida for the Hostage Negotiators Association, and I'm on the steering committee, actually, for SAMHSA, for the National Child Traumatic Stress Initiative. And we do a lot of work across the country and speak. I speak out a lot all mm-hmm. over and motivate mm-hmm. people and really help to empower and inspire people to heal their life and choose positive recovery and educate people about post-traumatic stress disorder. And I speak out a lot all over the country and do private coaching via Skype and over the phone and do a 6 to 8 week coaching program as well. So mm-hmm. you can find out all of this information is all on my website, again, at michelle-renee.com.
Great. Do you have any parting comments for the listeners?
I do. I would just like to encourage everyone to, we are still here and we're still breathing and we still have blood pumping through our veins. And that means it's that we still have time to make a positive difference in our own lives and in the lives of other people. So choose to make a positive difference. Say yes to that invitation. Today, when you wake up and your toes hit the floor, say yes to that invitation to show up to what I call this grand party of life and just give it 110% every single day and know that you're still here and you still have time to make an amazing difference in your own life and in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much, Michelle. I've enjoyed this and I know it will be interesting and helpful to the listeners.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it so much, and it has been an absolute pleasure for me as well.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on this program in the Faith, Healing, and Spirituality series. I hope some of the information was useful to you. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where each show is placed on the Sunday following broadcast and is free for your listening. Go to the blog and click on the streaming button. In addition, all previous shows are archived there. Also, I place the latest research on cancer and other related topics there twice a week. I also invite you to look at my products for sale, including my most recent book, Healthy Holistic Aging, that tells you how to live into your older years free of prescribed medications and illnesses as I have. Now, at age 78, I have no chronic illnesses or prescribed medications. I also have some ebooks and a CD on smoking cessation there. You can also sign up for my free monthly email Healthy Holistic Aging newsletter to be mailed to you. I look forward to having you with me on my next show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.